Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome. Good to see you tonight. It's always difficult to know when to hold these Bible studies because of, you know, trying to do them when people are going to be here. I think we've chosen a time when most people have gone away on holiday, but that's just the way it goes. However, for those on holiday now, for those of you who've been on holiday or been away for some other reason and not been able to come to any of these sessions, there is opportunity to catch up with the ones you've missed. We've got the last two successfully recorded now. I think Jordan may already have put them on the Clifton website. If he hasn't, they'll be going on very shortly, along with tonight's and then next week's as well. So you can always catch up on that, but you do need to have a computer and you do need to go onto the website in order to be able to get them. Okay. No, it's a bit difficult to put it on, unless, I mean, Jordan might put it on a CD, but you could ask him. Well, I could always ask Jordan if he can put some onto CD for us. Again, it's knowing how many copies to do, really, isn't it? If people want it on CD. But well, it's easy enough to put it onto a CD. I'd rather he did it than I do it, because he knows what he's doing, whereas I'm just playing around. If I can know how many people want a CD copy, then I can tell him how many to do, rather than keep doing odd ones. If he can do several at once, that might be easier. Does anybody else want a CD copy of them? Well, I knew somebody was going to tell me that, and I've just been to look for a copy of the newsletter where it's written on every week, and there isn't one left. And I can't I think it's www.cliftonmethodist.org.
If you just Google Clifton Methodist, you'll get the website.
However, be careful. And there's also a Methodist church in York called Clifton. There's also one in Nottingham as well. So I would just want one CD then. You would like one, Pat? Three at the moment. Okay, I'll let Jordan know and see if he can do that for us, and I'll let you know next week. Okay? Right. Let's begin, shall we, just with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be together tonight to continue exploring this theme about heaven and the afterlife and all that that entails. Lord, we pray for those who can't be here tonight, many of whom are away on holiday at the moment. And we thank you that we've got opportunity to be able to catch up on the talks we've missed through the website and also possibly through CDs. Thank you, Lord, for technology and all that it's able to give to us and provide for us. So, Lord, we pray for what we share together tonight, and we pray your blessing on our meeting together. Be with us, Lord, and come to us through your Holy Spirit. For this we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So let me just recap for those who weren't able to be with us last week. Last week we were looking at heaven as the place where we go when we die, and seeing that also, particularly not only in the church but in popular culture, that's also still a very strongly held belief, as is the idea, the understanding, that heaven is a place of bliss and contentment. What the Christian tradition has done, however, is to see this as a permanent, eternal state. We often talk about heaven, don't we, as our eternal home. But last week, we began to see that the New Testament doesn't tell us a great deal about heaven, particularly if it's our eternal destiny, the ultimate place where we're going to end up, because the New Testament says, of course, that it isn't. The New Testament talks about the new heaven and the new earth that will come about at the end of all time, as the vision in Revelation 21 and 22 demonstrates. We also saw last week that from the earliest days of the church, Greek philosophical thought had overtaken the Hebrew concept of resurrection that will happen in the last days. So what we've ended up with over centuries of Christian thinking is we see heaven and the afterlife as some kind of place where we enjoy a spiritual disembodied life forever. Whereas what the New Testament actually teaches us is that yes, when we die we will go to heaven, but that isn't our ultimate destiny. Our ultimate destiny is for a bodily existence through resurrection of life on a newly created earth, because that's the time when heaven and earth will come together and there will be a new creation where God will dwell with us and we will share a life in our mortal bodies. It's interesting, isn't it, the extent to which Greek philosophical thinking has shaped Christian thinking over the centuries, so that actually we believe in something quite different from what the New Testament teaches us. So I want us tonight to look in a little bit more detail at what the New Testament says about life, death, life after death, and life after death. Okay? Do you get the sequence? This is life now. We're all going to die. We believe in life after death, but the New Testament teaches us about a life beyond that, a life after death. So let's begin just by looking a little bit more about the influence of Greek philosophical thought. It mainly comes from a philosopher called Plato. You may have heard of him. He lived some 300 to 400 years before Christ. And his thinking and that of his successors, people like Aristotle, greatly influenced Christian thought in the early centuries of the Christian church. And indeed, it influenced later Christian thinkers like the great Catholic scholar Thomas Aquinas, who was heavily influenced by Aristotelian thought. What was Platonism all about? Well, basically, Platonism saw a distinction between the soul and the body, between what we call matter and the spirit, if you like. And anything to do with the earth, with the physical world, with matter, was seen to be secondary to the life of the spirit. And Plato taught that it was the eternal destiny of human beings to achieve, you know, the greatest and the highest state of spiritual reality. And in order to do that, it meant that the soul had to become detached from the body. So that to die and to leave the body behind on earth was actually, it's Jack Fretwell outside. Would somebody just like to go and show him in? So what it meant was that the way was to for the soul to become detached from the body, and to make its own journey towards eternal destiny or spiritual enlightenment. Come in, Jack. It's very good to see you. That's quite okay. We're glad you're here with us. That's okay. So you can begin to see that that resonates with things like the early church heresy of Gnosticism, which Paul had to counter, and also people like the writer of the fourth gospel, who wrote, "God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Not "God so loved disembodied souls so much." God loved the world, this created world of physical reality. So there was this heresy, again influenced by Greek thought in the early church, that said, you know, we leave all this business about the body and the flesh and the physical world behind. The important thing is to go in stages of spiritual elevation towards the highest possible realm of eternal blessedness and light that we can achieve the nearer we get towards God. You can see how that kind of thinking has heavily influenced the church, you know, over the centuries. Medieval theology was very much about attaining that beatific vision of God, of you know, elevating the soul until it was able to receive that blessed eternal light from God to shine on it forever. And again, medieval theology was heavily influenced by St. Thomas Aquinas, who was heavily influenced by Aristotle, who was heavily influenced by Plato. And so it goes on. But when we come to look at the New Testament, writers like Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, Paul in particular, because Paul tended to write before the gospel writers did, they didn't have a background in Greek thinking. It's not to say that they didn't know about it. It's not to say that they couldn't, you know, deal with Greek thought and ideas. You look in the Acts of the Apostles, you see Paul debating with Greek philosophers in the Areopagus in Athens, and he starts to talk to them about the resurrection, and they laugh at him, and we'll see why shortly. But basically, Paul was trying to connect with them in terms of their way of thinking. So he did know about it, but Paul's whole background was not in Hellenistic thought. It was in Jewish thinking. And Jewish thinking was very much more rooted in the world as it is. It was about the created world. It was about the way in which God had created the body. He'd made human beings of us, and that was God's intention.